I got to tell you how I am very thankful for you and how you have allowed God to use you to encourage people and me specifically. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I know it truly is only God, because I didn't think I was going to get through that time, and I had never experienced anything like that. So the way I fought and what God did in that fight truly was a miracle. So I think when you go through things like that and you see God's hand in it, there's no way not to share it, even if it's hard.
That's right. I appreciate you obeying the prodding of God to do that.
I did ultimately obey.
Eventually.
Eventually. I'm a little slow on stuff like that.
I can feel that, because in 2014, when, you know, the enemy tried to mess me up, in 2015, I felt him saying, you need to write a book. And I still haven't.
Oh, well, look, let me give you really great hope for that. So when we were, Monica was my best friend who died, and when we were sitting in hospice, she was pretty much unconscious by that point, but I was sitting on the couch, and I looked at her in the bed, and I knew I was supposed to write a book, not about me, but about her faith. I mean, you have those moments where you know that you know that you know, and I was like, okay, God, I will. And, you know, it didn't get published. I mean, 2009, I would start and stop. It was hard, and I would get upset, and I would cry. I'm like, screw this. God, why do you want me to write this book? I mean, I went through all the emotions, and it was not until 2020 that I had a conversation with Jeff, my husband, and he's like, are you going to write it? It kind of became a joke with my friends. Like, you know, when you write that book, but I knew at some point it was going to get written. I was starting to doubt a little bit, but at the same time, I kind of felt like it's still going to happen. And he said, are you going to do it? And I said, yeah, I guess if I'm going to do it, I need to go ahead and do it. He said, well, whatever you need, I'm going to help you do it. Mm-hmm. Do you know, it took me a month. Now, I had a lot of pieces and parts, but it took a month after that decision to write the book. But that is over 10 years later. So you're still good.
Okay, good. I got a year yet.
Yeah. I guess I'll ask you that question in a few months.
Okay.
Are you going to write the book?
So how much of the procrastination was actually your grief?
I would say probably in the first 2 years, 100%. 100% the grief and my fight with God, but probably years 3 to 5, I was learning a new normal. And then after that, I really didn't want to revisit it, because it can take you right back to where you were. It's really odd that even though you've come a long way and a lot of healing has happened, it can take you back pretty quickly. So then it was more of a, life is getting a little better. I really don't want to go back. Mm-hmm. And I think probably after the fifth year, it was 100% me.
And so the fear of revisiting is very common, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that, I mean, that's another, you know, piece of this miraculous puzzle that that God has provided me with, because I could have not written it, but because I truly believe and I did promise, I felt like it was supposed to be written, maybe not even for publication, but more to get it out of my heart onto paper. And then when I did finish, I had a few people read and like, you need to share this with us. It's really not on grief, but it changed, like her story changed my grief and my life. And I tell people all the time that, you know, as a friend, she changed my life, but her death and her faith, they changed me as a person. And I saw the power of faith. And it also showed me that what I had was probably more religion. You know, I'm pretty rule-based, rules and regulations, and the thou shouts are pretty big. But when you go through something that's so life-altering and heartbreaking, they don't help you at all. And it made me question my faith, and it actually made me build a relationship with God, ironically enough, through all my anger. So, I mean, he used every part of my personality to bring me closer to him.
Well, I tell you, the encouragement in your podcast, Grief to Great Day, has, it's encouraged me and made me get off my own back because, yeah, anger was a pretty big part of it at first.
Yeah.
And
you're just starting your walk. I mean, we're talking May, so this is still very new and very raw. And I think our society has rushed it, grief in general, so much that we feel or are pressured to feel that we should be good in a month or two. Or, you know, I got a few days of bereavement time for work, and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be good now. And it just doesn't happen like that.
Mm-mm. No. And as soon as you think, I'm having more good days than bad, a day shows up that says,
I know. It's the crazy thing. And that's, on one hand, that's the worst part of grief, because when you think you're making progress and then another wave hits and you're like, I'm starting all over again, you're really not, but it feels like it.
Right.
At the same time, the silver lining, which you're not going to see, feel, or want to know about in those moments, is that God's using that process for trust. He's, you know, allowing those things so that you lean on him more. And, you know, that I went kicking and screaming, but when I look back, I just see how he brought me to him with my anger, and not something that I had to pretend I didn't have. There's no pretending in grief either, and that's a good thing.
You can't even lie to yourself.
No. And I was pretty, I didn't have boundaries, and actually I've just kind of gotten some boundaries this year because, you know, my Christian concept is help everybody, but we're supposed to help us too. I mean, we're supposed to take care of ourselves and steward our relationship and our time and our, you know, work from rest, not work to rest. But in grief, I had boundaries because I couldn't hardly function anyway. So I was able to speak truth to people and to God and really, really see what was in my own heart. And that was a little scary, but it helped me depend on him, and it helped me be real, probably for the first time in my life.
Mm. And we get the benefit of you saying, okay, God, use the grief. So dying to be healed, that's a really interesting title.
I knew the title that very day in hospice because Monica was diagnosed with melanoma 2006 and did alternative health stuff. And in 2009, we pretty much thought it was gone, and she had back pain, and it was very much not gone. Mm. So from the time she was diagnosed to the time of her death was 6 months, but in that first month, she 100% believed she had been healed. And so the title was, you know, more like she was dying to be healed, but she was also dying to be healed, you know.
Right.
Did the difference come out in that?
Yes, I understand totally. I lost this week, I lost a mentor who got breast cancer, and it hit very quickly. And I know where she is, but it hurts. It changes the way life is, because you don't have that one person to go to and say, what do you think about this?
Exactly.
And that was the kind of friendship that you and Monica had.
Yeah, we met this is many, many years ago. I was married very young, and I guess she was too, I don't really know, but we met when we were both going through divorces. So that was a different kind of bond too, that, you know, that was very hard for both of us in life, but we ended up going back to church, you know, together. So that was another big thing. And she taught me a lot about how to live. It sounds weird, but I was probably in my late late 20s before I really started understanding how to function in the world. Grew up in a very chaotic home, and honestly, I left Maryland at 22 with my fiance just to kind of get out of the situation. So her friendship, and you know, that's a God thing too. He brings people in your life just when you need them, even though you don't know you need them.
You don't see that until a long way down the road, and you look back and go, oh, thanks, God.
Yeah, and that's grief, because you're not going to see any of the good right now because it's too painful. But when you look back, you're like, wow, look what he did. And that's really the title of the podcast. And I've had a couple people say, oh, so you're going to go from grieving to, oh, let's have a great day. I said, no, I don't mean it at all like that. I want to share the possibility, though, that there's still a great day to be had, even after grief, even right. in the midst of great pain and sorrow. And, you know, Monica, in her faith walk, she showed me what relationship with God looked like, that circumstances were horrible. I mean, her pain and her swelling and, I mean, just daily, but it didn't even matter because of her relationship with God. She still had joy. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. So that example changed my life, especially going through grief.
She's an inspiration.
Yeah, she really was. And to go back to something that you said, you know that she's in heaven, and I did too. And I felt very unchristian when I was going through grief because people were like, oh, she's pain-free and she's singing in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I said, so what?
Right.
I'm happy for her, but that's not my experience. And it made me feel selfish, and it made me feel less of a Christian. But again, mm-hmm. that was the truth.
Yeah. Those are the things that Mike, Gwen's husband, and I have talked about. Yeah, we know where she is, but she needs right. to be here with her boys.
Right. And oh, the cliches that people come up with sometimes are just like daggers. And it's only because they don't understand.
Right.
And I'm thankful. I'm thankful they don't understand. But at the same time, it can be very hurtful.
Okay, so let's come up with some suggestions on how someone can react to a friend or a loved one who just lost someone significant in their life. What are things that they should say?
I think the biggest thing that people feel in those moments are, you know, if I can make them laugh or if I can help them fix it. There's no fixing loss like that. So just really not worrying too much about what you say and just be present. Have a listening ear. Allow them just to unload and to share what they're going through, because that's hard too. You want to be able to share with people the pain you're feeling, but at the same time, it's almost not a pressure, but maybe an obligation not to bring someone down with you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But honestly, just to be present is one of the biggest gifts people can give to someone who's grieving.
Yeah. I remember in the weeks following my daughter's death, as a mom, you're all worried about everybody else's feelings. And seriously, it was months later before I could go, oh, I should be grieving.
Yeah.
Sure, I would cry, yeah. And yes, I would grieve. I went through the anger and all of that, but I was more worried about everybody else's feelings instead of actually letting God take me through that process.
Yeah, I think that's like a Christian woman thing, you know? Because we're here to serve. We're here to, you know, sacrifice and help others. And I think, I don't know, I think some of that is a little skewed. Because, and I'll go ahead and tell you what a counselor once told me. Jeff and I were going to a counselor one time, and I share that openly because it was kind of an issue with one of the kids, but we found that going to counseling was fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. And I say that, you know, for grief too, a counselor or even a grief coach, and they're different, but they're both so important. But the counselor said to me one time, Jeff was telling him about all the things that I've done and what I volunteered to do at church, and he said, "Wow, you're a funnel." I said, "What?" And he said, "You're a funnel." He said, "You know, you when you do take any time, like in prayer or your relationship with God or time with friends or rest," he said, "that gets poured into you, the funnel, and it just gets poured right out. Mm. It just goes right out. There's nothing left for you as a funnel. That's why you're tired." He said, "But a vessel, we're supposed to be a vessel. So the vessel is filled up, and then from the overflow, that's what we give. And that's giving without obligation. That's giving truly in love and because we want to, because we're full." He said, "So you're a funnel, and you need to be a vessel." And it really stuck with me. And it took, I told you I'm slow. Everything has to seep in. But over the next year, things started changing in my mindset. And I thought, wow, I've been a funnel. And it hindered me most of my life, except for in Greece, when I quickly became, I need help here. I can't help anybody else.
Well, that was a little wisdom, God-given wisdom, saying, "Hey, yeah. hey, you need some help."
Yeah, another thing that God did for me.
Okay, so we're coming up on the holidays. What are some suggestions for people as they're headed into the holidays and they're going to be missing that loved one?
Yeah, I think especially in the first year, and the second year isn't a whole lot better, and that's something else that people don't know, but especially those first holidays, the firsts are the worst, but the seconds aren't so great either. But coming into the holidays, I think a lot of people will kind of do what you did. They want to make it still good for everybody else. But remember to take care of yourself. Give yourself a lot of extra grace and patience and time. Like, build time in that you can get away from everything and rest. I think commercially, our culture is all about Christmas and the ads that are on TV, and everything's great and family gatherings. And when you're going through grief, it makes the grief deeper because the comparison is so stark. So I would suggest that you kind of plan ahead, have no expectations, but kind of plan ahead and put aside time that you can just kind of breathe. Decide if you want to do the social things or not. Decide if you can, as a family, what traditions you want to keep that you had before and some that you don't want to keep that might just be too hard. If you have like a family situation, it would be great to have those decisions made together, and then you can kind of support each other instead of just kind of going in blind and everybody's kind of thinking a different thing. And then you end up walking on eggshells, and that makes it harder. But I think traditions, it may be too early to even think about that, and it's okay. And, that's really the biggest thing. Whatever it looks like, it's okay. If you need to get away, I know a lot of people who leave the country. They're like, "I'm escaping, we're going to go on a cruise," and that's okay, too. It's really, you have to think about what it is that you need to do.
My son-in-law has bought me a plane ticket, and I'm going to spend Christmas week with him and the boys.
Awesome. How do you feel about that?
I look forward to it. Mike said he needs, the boys need some of Gwen's DNA with them.
Oh.
But there are definitely some things that I'm dreading.
Right. Well, I would say definitely, and share this with them up front, say there might be some times I need to go to my room and I need to be alone, and it's, nothing personal, but you're still grieving.
Right. Yep. We talked about that. Mike is the best. He's just amazing. After my divorce, he's the one that tried to convince me to come and live with them. I mean, what son-in-law is going to ask their mother-in-law to come and live with them?
A special one, apparently.
Oh, my goodness. He's absolutely the best. But we talked about there will be times when I'm there that we'll need space. But there's also going to be plenty of times where he and I are just going to sit on the couch and bawl.
Yeah. That is going to be incredibly healing, though. You know?
Yep. I have found that every time I cry, I get a little bit... This is the way Mike describes it. He said, the grief will probably never go away, but God will keep giving us strength to carry it.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I always tell people that it's not going to be like it is today, but that the loss, because it was love, it just doesn't go away ever. And it shouldn't. Because, I mean, the loss comes from the hurt, the pain comes from the love you shared, and now, you know, that person's not there. It doesn't mean you stop loving, though.
Right. The more they're loved, the deeper it hurts.
Yeah. Yes. That's the blessing and the curse of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And to be able to spend time with your grandkids, and that's going to be very special, I think, for all three of you.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that part. So, Stephanie, let's go back to the book. What do you want our listeners to know about the book?
I think the biggest thing, I was kind of in her experience, I learned what real faith is. And it's not, you know, we talk about faith, oh, you just got to have faith, girl, stuff like that. And I was all on board with that. And, you know, you can put stuff in the house, too, about it. But faith is, it's not that sweet. It's hard, but it's such a powerful thing. And watching her relationship, watching Monica's relationship with God, bring her peace in the midst of a crazy storm, and to have a belief that she had been healed, not just, you know, on the other side, but physically on this side, it changed her actions. It changed her attitude. And it was something like I have never seen in my life. And I wanted that day two in grief, but I didn't have that. And so spending time with God in prayer or even in anger, that was kind of, you know, my experience, and reading his word. And you're not going to do that in grief like you have any other time. Because in the beginning, you don't want to read the Bible. Or, okay, I won't say you, I'll say me. I didn't want to read the Bible, but I found that I had to. I almost wanted to prove God wrong. And again, he used that for my good because it just brought me closer to him. It doesn't have to be but a verse. And that's, you know, on the podcast, I like to share a song of the week because music always, I don't know, it just touched me differently. But and a word of the week, because if it's just one verse, even every week, just something, stay connected with God. I saw the power in that because her prayers, it was like God was right there because he was. And I had never experienced that until seeing that. So when I went after God, I say that a lot, you know, go after God. What I mean is it doesn't have to be neat and tidy like, you know, a daily prayer or 10 minutes reading the Bible. It's not like that. It's whatever it is that will connect you to God. For me, it was the anger. Then that's fine because he will use it. He will use it and transform it for your good.
Mm. That's encouraging because as Christians, we think, oh, we have to have 10 minutes a day, half hour a day,
yeah.
And do this and this and this. And why do we make such a work out of something that's supposed to be so intimate? The relationship that we have with God, when his relationship with us wasn't about work, it was about giving his son.
Yes. Well said. I mean, yeah, why do we do it?
You know, that is something. I was 48, 40 years in the wilderness, thinking it was my job to keep God happy. And it wasn't until I was 48 that the Holy Spirit really started to open my eyes and I realized, oh, the work is done. Oh, I am a loved, chosen daughter of the King.
Yes.
Why don't I just live in that?
Yes. Isn't that freeing?
Yes, very much.
It's so freeing. It's hard, and now in grief, to live those truths, to believe those truths over what the enemy's saying, you know, why did God allow that? I never thought God caused it, but he did allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you know why? Obviously, if he loved you, that wouldn't have happened. Those kind of things, we really, and it's all in the Bible. You have to take those thoughts captive, and you have to focus on the truth and not your feelings, and that's hard.
Yeah, man. Yep. The way we think of that relationship looks different than how he wants it.
Yeah, and again, like, why are we making it hard? Because you and I, you know, we've met because of the podcast, and for us to have a friendship, we have to talk like this. We have to communicate. We have to, you know, and that's all it is with God, too. Communication and wanting to know more about him. I learned so much about God's character, and it changed my heart.
That's awesome. Humans are so weird. We don't, we learn the most, we love the Lord the most when we're in the hard times. Why does it have to wait until we're in something really hard for us to get it?
Yeah, I've said that since, you know, my fight for those 2 years, I was in the Bible, I was listening to sermons, I was praying, I was calling out, I was all those things, and the urgency and the seriousness of it, it was amazing, and to the point where later on I missed it. Mm. I missed that kind, that level of connection. But again, you know, when life gets a little bit smoother, a little bit easier, then the urgency and the need, we go kind of go back to our old ways a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
It's almost, I can handle this.
Yep.
We'll go back to that again.
Exactly. Yeah. If we could figure out why, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think God knows too. That's how we are.
He made us this way.
Yeah.
He uses everything to pull us back.
Yeah, I'm a great example of, you know, the wilderness walk. What, less than 2 week trip taking 40 years.
Yep, exactly.
So I think that's all of us as humans, and it doesn't keep us from and I don't want to use the word strive, because there should be no strive in relationship, but from keeping God as the priority.
Mm, yeah, that's a good way to think of it. You're yeah. obviously where God has you on purpose.
Yeah, I believe that too, and I don't know, I feel very, very blessed to be able to, you know, help women through grief, because it's, I don't know, it's like a sacred walk, you know?
Mm.
It is life-changing, and it can go either way. It can change your life for the good, or it can change it to where you're bitter, and I don't want that for anybody, because I just want people to know that there's such hope, not because I say so, but because God says so. There's such hope for life after loss. And no one wants to go through loss. And we would all change it if we could.
Mm.
But those are things we don't have a choice in. What we do have a choice in is how we're going to walk it out afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are those verses? You know, we go through hardships so that God can use us to help others.
Exactly.
Mm.
And, you know, if you had said that to me in the first 2 years of grief, I would have said, I don't care. I don't care about others. What about me? It was
yep.
the greatest what about me time.
Mm-hmm. But, yep.
Such a gift. And I wouldn't have it had I not gone through those first 2 years.
Yeah, man. Okay, so your podcast is Grief to Great Day.
Yes.
And I listen to it on Spotify. But it's also, okay. I think Podbean has it.
It does. And Apple Podcasts, like all of it should be on all of the podcast apps.
Oh, it's on Amazon too. There was the episode that, and honestly, this don't take it personally. I think someone had directed me to your podcast at first, and just the title, never mind, Great Day. But as I was looking for podcasts, 2-3 months after Gwen's death, the title of a recent one was Throw Out the Stages of Grief or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was exactly how I was feeling that day. It's like, oh, these are stupid. And that's what hooked me. So then I went to the beginning and, oh my goodness, it helped make sense of the weird things that I was thinking and made me feel better about the anger and all of that.
Yeah, I wish people were more honest about how they feel when they're going through grief. But you kind of want to temper. I thought I was crazy. That's probably one of the biggest things I need to share, too. You're not going crazy. It's the grief. But I felt like the things I was wanting to share would make me look crazy because I had never thought those things before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's why it was important to just, if I was going to do it, to be honest about it. But I totally understand what you're saying about the title. I've had a lot of people say that to me. I said, I can't change it because, and that's one of the things that goes back to the book, the Dying to Be Healed book. Monica went through horrendous pain and wouldn't take enough morphine to take care of all the pain because she wanted to interact with people and love on them and tell them how good God was. And every day she would say, we had a great day, didn't we? And I thought, no, we did not. It was horrible. But she never saw the horrible. She only saw the good in every day. And that was where I got the phrase, great day. We'll say it a lot, have a great day. But to go from grief to be able to have a great day, that held a lot of meaning for me. And they're like, you should call it something else because you might, be turning people off. And I'm like, I can't. I can't do it because this is what I believe God wants me to use.
Absolutely.
So I kept it. But I get what you're saying.
Well, and I think in the beginning, I think you just have to feel it and process it. And there's a lot of things you're not going to be ready for a while.
Correct.
And God dropped it in my lap at just the right time. So,
I totally agree with that. He really does line things up that are best for our healing.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be different with everybody. Some people are ready to help others almost immediately. Others have to take the time. And that's the way God made you. You and He need that time together.
Exactly. 100% agree. There needs to be a time of, I don't want to use the word isolation, but that you're focused, on God first. Because there's no healing in what culture has to offer, and other people can't help you heal. It is truly only God that's going to help you heal.
Mm-hmm. I learned personally that God's okay with me being angry with Him because He wasn't angry at me.
Right. Yeah, I felt guilty about that for a while, and then I just had to, own it and say, this is where I am, and if it's wrong, I'm sorry, but this is really all I got right now. You know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I appreciate your honesty in your podcast.
It was kind of a decision. Kind of a decision I had to make because you can share the best things to do when you're going through grief. But if you don't feel like someone understands, then I don't really want to hear it. Like if you're not talking, and at that time I was looking for Christian grief resources. I didn't want just regular grief groups because I wanted what Monica had, and that was faith, and that was a relationship with God. So I couldn't really. I found Grief Share, which is a wonderful group, but that was the only Christian grief resource for women, and that's for men and women. But that was the only one I could find, and I wanted to be able to share with people that they're not alone, and that they're not going crazy because that's important, and that God is in it. He's in it with you, even when you don't feel it. He's there.
Yeah. I've realized that I think grief is so hard because God didn't create us to have to grieve. He doesn't like death either. We originally were not supposed to experience death.
Right.
But isn't it good that he's a creator that says, okay, this is a part of your life now. I'm going to help you through this.
Yes. And purpose will be on the other side of the pain.
Yeah. That takes a while to realize.
Oh, yeah. A long while for some.
I have some friends that their 17-year-old daughter she's on hospice now. She has a incurable cancer in her spine. And I was praying in the shower one morning, and out of my mouth, I was praying for Allie, praying for her to be healed. At the same time, I was having this conversation in the back of my head. I know you could have cured Gwen, and I'm still mad that you didn't. But please, heal Allie. So I'm saying so much glory you would get. Her doctors and nurses and everybody around her. How much hope you would give the world by healing her. I heard his voice say, what do you think would give me more glory? What would give the world more hope? Me healing this one person? And in the back of my head, I knew he was also talking about Gwen.
Right.
Healing this one person or watching me work in all the people that know that person that I'm calling home.
Yeah, that's something I had to come to too. And I did this. I think I said something very similar to what you said, you know, almost like, well, God, you have missed a great opportunity here.
Yes.
Like, what are you thinking? Like, stage 4 cancer. This is what she believed. And man, she would have told the whole world and had everything to back it up, to prove. And what in the world? So, yeah, I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he had told me the same thing he told you. It took my fight a little bit longer.
Well, just let me tell you, don't gasp really huge in the shower because you might drown.
The shower was a great place to cry.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, you have it running and you can just let loose. And that's okay, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we need to, like, look at every little thing we do and say, oh, my gosh, it's okay. I mean, you're walking through the hardest time of your life. And as long as you seek God in some way, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe. Take a lot of time to rest, and especially at the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was another time I felt very unchristian, because when the holidays came, and you know, I know the reason for the season, and I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful. I feel it now, but in grief, I just couldn't feel what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, and I felt bad about that, and I was like, God, I'm sorry. I know what we're supposed to be celebrating, but I have no celebration for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. But I mean, and that's where I was. And I hate that I felt that way, but it was the truth.
Yeah. It's hard to think of celebrating when you're not.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't have the energy to put on.
Right. Yep. So, Stephanie, you have the podcast, Grief to Great Day. You've got the Facebook page for women who are dealing with grief.
Yes, I'm sorry. It's a private Facebook group. I want people to know that they come in and it's private, and you know what's said in there is personal and it is not shared.
Mm-hmm. There's so much encouragement there, even if it's co-misery, you know? But you also have a website and with resources for helping with grief.
Correct. And the website is grief2greatday.com.
Awesome. I like that path of grief and how it winds and goes all over the place, because that describes it quite well.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I know people who have printed that out and like put it on the refrigerator. So it's not stages of grief, and it's winding. The road is winding because It's not a straight line. Grief is not linear. It is a roller coaster. That's kind of how the journey is. There's bends and detours and things you don't expect, and for good and for bad. But it kind of gives an overview of some of the, maybe the emotional things you'll feel, or, you know, the business. I call it the business of death, the estate, and things like that. That just, I found very cold.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's part of it. And, you know, I had to go to the courthouse, and they're like, you got the death certificate? I'm like, wow, you just said that like an ice cream flavor.
Right.
And it hit hard. And I thought, whew, okay. So, I mean, those things, just to kind of prepare people for that. And it's not, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. It was just hurtful to me because everything was.
Mm, yep. So, grief, the number 2, greatday.com. And you've got resources. Yes. You've got copies of how to get through the holidays there. You can order your the book there.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's one more thing that I would share. Last year, I hosted a holiday grief relief summit. It was a live summit online. And I did not host one this year, but I am offering the recordings for, there's some music from the church that I attend, but there's also incredible speakers, all women, who share their testimonies of loss. And, you know, of a child, of a husband, of a mother, just, and they're very real and they're very honest. And it's encouraging to listen to them and to know that there's hope on the other side, especially around the holidays. And then there's something called the spoken word, which is just beautiful because it's called the creation. You know, God created the world, and it's a really good friend of mine who's acting that out. That has a website, too. It's called HolidayGriefReliefSummit.com. HolidayGriefReliefSummit. It's all one long word, .com.